You have your Bibles this morning. I don't know. Oh. Okay. Thank you for that, Brother Carl. So Evelyn, we need to talk after church. All right, let's start John chapter 4, and we started this new year. This is the first Sunday of the year, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about a new beginning. So we've had a brand new year start. 2024 probably had some good things in it. Maybe it had some challenges for a lot of us, I know, but regardless of that, we last year saw God's faithfulness, didn't we? That God was with us, and God blessed us, and guess what? God will bless us again this year as we start 2025, and I look forward to seeing what God does with us in this coming year. And so we're going to talk about new beginnings over the next several weeks, and this morning we're going to start with where I think one of the most important things for us is, and that's I need a new heart. Your heart is mighty important to you, if you didn't know. You need it to live. And a couple of years ago, I had what I thought was going to be a relatively minor surgery, and I bounced back from it, and it turned out not to be so. I was sick, you may remember, for several months. A big part of why I didn't recover was because my heart was not pumping the way that it needed to. It wasn't working, and the good Lord got me to the right doctors. I'm so thankful for that, good Christian, godly man and a lady that put a pacemaker in, and now it's ticking away like it's supposed to, and so thankful for that. But your heart affects everything, so it's one part of your body, but can I tell you, it affects every other part of your body. No other part of your body can survive if the heart doesn't do what it's supposed to. And so I want to suggest to us that the same, just as that's true in our physical life, a spiritual heart is just as important to our spiritual life. And we need to be sure it's ticking like it's supposed to. And so we're going to see a lady today who Jesus meets and changes her life and gives her a new heart, and it changes everything about her life. So if you'll take your Bible, look with me. I'm going to read John 4, 1 through 30 this morning. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed to go again into Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw.' And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one with whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus answered her, "I who speak to you am he." Verse 27, "And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman then left her water pot, went her way to the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." And we'll stop there for this morning. And so we find this lady that, a wonderful reminder of how God welcomes and loves, and God can save absolutely anyone. And that's a good message. That's the good news of the gospel. And the good news is, with God, everyone is a candidate for a heart transplant. Because the reality is, every human being needs one. They need a spiritual heart transplant. And so as we think about these new beginnings, we certainly find this woman whose name we don't even know. But we know she was a Samaritan woman. That's significant for a couple reasons. I just want to mention them quickly to us this morning. Samaritans were considered half-Jews. They were Jews that had married in with non-Jewish folks. So they were considered half-breeds. And so the Jews didn't like Samaritans. Matter of fact, they didn't just not like them. They didn't have anything to do with them. And they would go around the land of Samaria, so they didn't even have to walk through their land. Now it was also interesting that the woman that Jesus chose to speak with was a woman, because men and women didn't converse in the first century world if they were strangers, and Jesus was certainly a stranger in the land of Samaria. But the text tells us that as Jesus went, he needed to go through Samaria. Well, what an odd thing for a Jew to really need to go through Samaria. But Jesus knew he had a mission, and he knew that there was this woman who needed a new start. And so as we look at 2025 and think about a new beginning for a new year, I want us to think about that this can be a new year for us spiritually in the Lord. And I hope our prayer as a church, and you as an individual and as a family, will make your prayer this year that God would draw you closer to him. And that God would stir within you and help you to grow closer to him. And in order to do that, there's a few things that we have to do as it relates to a new heart. And the first is this, that we need a listening heart. We need a listening heart. This woman came looking for regular water, something that she did every day. And she was not only a Samaritan woman, but she was an outcast even among the Samaritans. She was there in the middle of the day. It was noon. The sixth hour is noontime. Hot. Now, all of us know, if we had something to do outside, do we pick the hottest day of the day to do it? No, we want to get it done early before it gets to 110 degrees outside. Well, all the other women in town did that, but this lady was so ostracized and so shamed because of the life that she had lived that she didn't go when everybody else went. She went after they left. Jesus could have gone to Samaria any time, but he timed it just by coincidence. I think not. He timed it on purpose to meet this lady at the well, that Jacob's well in Sychar. And so she came looking for regular water, not even realizing that she needed living water. But Jesus knew really what she needed. It's not just a matter of focusing on things that we can see and our physical needs. Sometimes the things that we can see are not really what we need. Sometimes the things are much deeper or much different than what we might think they are. And so we need a heart that can listen to the things of God. You know, sometimes we say, well, preacher, I just can't seem to hear God speak. Listen, God speaks through His Word. He speaks to us through prayer, through His Spirit. He does speak to us. But the Bible reminds us on numerous occasions that God speaks in a still, quiet voice. And a lot of times, the reason we can't hear God speak is because we don't want to listen. We say, yes, God, I want you to tell me what to do, but then we put a little asterisk and say, well, I really only want you to tell me what to do if what you want me to do is what I want to do anyway. And that's not how it works. We have to be willing to say, God, show me and direct me. God, give me a heart that hears you, so that you can tell me what I really need. So Jesus approached this Samaritan woman, asked her for a drink of water. And that started a spiritual conversation, because Jesus knew that, yes, the lady needed water, because we need water for lots of different things, including drinking and washing and all those kind of things. Water's necessary. But even more necessary is a heart that's right with God. And so Jesus reminds us that, listen, we need to put everything else maybe on pause just for a moment, so that we can ultimately hear from God and find out what the ultimate issue is and what our ultimate needs are and how God can meet those needs. Life sometimes can blind us to the things that we really need. We all get busy. There's work, kids, meetings, things that fill up our calendar. We're all busy. And it's not hard for us to forget things that we need to do because we're busy with other stuff. Well, when we have a new spiritual heart, it helps us to hear the right things and to keep things in perspective. So it wasn't that getting water was not important. It was necessary. But it wasn't what the most important thing was. The most important thing was for this woman to find living water. And so we need a heart that's able to listen. And that means sometimes pausing. And I tell you that sometimes we fill our days so much that we don't have give God time to speak to us. And I tell you something, that if you're too busy to pray and if you're too busy to read God's Word, you're too busy. And you need to cut something out of your day, but not God's Word. You need that. And so this heart that seeks after God and listens to God helps us to see what's important. But when our heart grows cold, we have trouble listening to the things of God. And so we need God to give us a new heart. And to help rewarm, help restart the spiritual heart, that we would hear the things of God. thing is that God is always speaking to us. The problem is, most of the time, we're not listening. Maybe because we're afraid of what God will say to us. Maybe because we really don't want to hear what God's going to tell us, because we already know what He's going to tell us. But listening to God, we see over and over again, and you've seen over and over again, and even in your own life, listening to God is always the best choice. Doing it God's way, going His direction, is always best. And oftentimes, God will ask us to do things maybe a little bit odd or maybe countercultural. Maybe sometimes I wonder just to see if we'll do it or not. Nobody would have faulted Jesus. Nobody would have said anything to Him had He not gone to Sychar that day. The disciples would have continued on and said, "Oh, what a great trip we've had." But Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had an appointment with this woman. And He went. And the disciples didn't understand. In fact, we read when they got there, they said, "What on earth is Jesus doing now talking to that lady? He brought us here to Samaria." That was their gripe number one. But then Jesus sends them to town to get the groceries. And they come back and He's conversing with this strange Samaritan woman in the middle of the day. They didn't understand it. And I wonder, even after Jesus explains it to them, they didn't really fully get it, even then, perhaps. And so we have to have a heart that listens to God. And part of that is using our spiritual heart actively, exercising it, just like our physical heart gets healthier when you exercise and it pumps and doing the things. But it's good for you. And it's necessary. Can I tell you that exercising your spiritual heart is even more important? How do you do that? You pray. And you read your Bible. And you're still. Listen, that's countercultural in our world today. We think we've always got to be buzzing and going and doing. But God says sometimes you need to just sit still, turn the TV off, turn the computer off, turn the phone off, and just sit there. So we need a listening heart. Secondly, we need a prioritized heart. This lady had priorities that were way messed up. Man, she had a checkered past. She'd had several husbands and now was living out of wedlock with a man who was not her husband. Jesus knew that. But guess what? He didn't shy away from her. And He didn't condemn her. But He wanted her to know and understand He knew where she was at. And that her priorities had gotten all... She said, "Listen, I worship." She said, "I go to church." The Samaritans, you know, we worship on the mountain. You Jews say you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, "Listen, it's not about where. It's about how and who." He says, "You're worshiping things that you really don't understand and that you don't know about." Why? Because she was putting these forms of religion, the things that she did, the tradition, ahead of knowing God. Can I tell you that the first priority, the most important thing in your life, needs to be your relationship with God? And when that's where it's supposed to be, guess what? Your family situations and your work situations, they're not perfect, but they get better and they go a lot smoother because the first priority is where it's supposed to be. And so God is at the center of your life and He's helping you along. And He helps keep your priorities where they need to be. But our world and the way that our society thinks is the way this woman's society and this woman thought. That, you know what, it was human relationships that were more important than a relationship with God. She kept chasing after men, thinking that finding the right man eventually was going to make fulfill her destiny and make her happy. Well, guess what? It didn't work. She thought, well, it was, you know, and so we can lose the blessing of God by forgetting God's priorities. Nothing is more, shouldn't be, there should not be anything more important in our life than our relationship with God. Well, how do we know where our priorities are? We check our calendar and we check our checkbook or our online register now, because nobody actually keeps a checkbook register except maybe Miss Kay, because she's the church treasurer. She's got to keep it all written down. We're all online and we use the debit card. But listen, you look at how a person spends their money and what fills their calendar, and you can tell pretty quickly what's important to them. There are people that say, you know what, church is mighty important to me. And yet, they never darken the door of not just this church, but any church. If you don't ever go to church, guess what? Church really isn't all that important to you. And by the way, not that church needs to be the number one thing. It shouldn't be the number one thing. If church is the number one thing, you're in trouble. Because it's God that needs to be number one. Now, can I tell you, though, something? If God is number one, church is not far down the list of priorities in your life. Because if God's number one, then you're going to want to be with God's people, and you're going to want to be where you can grow in your walk with Him. And you're going to want to be around other believers, other people that are trying to follow after God. And so Jesus wants us to prioritize our relationship with Him. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, He said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In other words, when you put God first and you're doing what He says to do, everything else in life will take care of itself. Not that it's easy, and not that it doesn't have U-turns and bumps along the way, but it will take care of itself because God is where He needs to be in your life. It's when God gets out of that priority number one spot that everything else in our world tends to fall apart. And so maybe if we look back on 2024, you say, you know what? 2024 was a hot mess. Maybe it was a hot mess because God wasn't where He needed to be in your life. And so now as you start a new, fresh year, you can change that. You say, you know what, God, I'm going to put You first. You're going to be the priority of my heart. And I guarantee you that if you'll do that, life will be blessed and you'll see things work out, maybe not work out the way you want to. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but what I will say is you'll make it through. And you'll realize how blessed you are and that God is directing your path. And then lastly, I want us to see this morning, not only do we need this listening heart and prioritized heart, but we need a connected heart. I tell you that God intends for you to live in fellowship with Him and with other people. You cannot live the Christian life alone. You first need God in your life, and that's where it has to start, but you also need other believers in your life. And so Jesus had to clarify this woman's misunderstanding of how God wants to be worshipped. So it wasn't about whether you go to a mountain or whether you go, it's not about a place. It's about your heart and living for and with God. That understanding that God is with you. It's not about the location. So he says, he redirects the location and says, listen, it's not about just your body. and what you do with it. But it's about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that's how you know the power of God in your life. It's that you're connected to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you're connected to the body of Christ, which is the church. It is an impossibility for a person to say they love God and hate the church. Unfortunately, I've heard some people say, they said, "Preacher, I know I've got God in my life, but I don't need the church." Wrong. If God is first in your life, He will place you in a local body of believers where you can grow, where they can challenge you and hold you accountable, and where you can serve and help God fulfill the purpose for your life and for that local congregation. But in order for that to happen, you have to have a connected heart. You have to have a heart that's connected to God. So, you know, if you have a physical telephone now, most of us probably don't anymore, but, you know, back in the early 2000s, guess what? There was a phone, an actual phone that sat on your table at home or on the wall. And it had a cord that went in it and went into the wall. And you couldn't just take the phone and walk around anywhere. You had to stay pretty close to there. You remember that? And you could have a phone in your house, but if that cord was not connected to the back of that phone, guess what? That phone didn't ring. It didn't work. And so if you were getting too many calls, you know what you sometimes did? You took that cord and you unplugged it. And that phone didn't ring. You said, you know what, I need to unplug for a few minutes and not have anybody bother me. Well, we do that in our spiritual life. We take the connection that we have with God and we unplug it. Well, we can't do that. We've got to leave it plugged in. We need a heart that is connected to God. And the thing is, the reality is we can turn on or off our relationship with God, our connection with God. But when we turn it off, we do it to our detriment. It's never a good thing for us. Satan may tell you, hey, listen, just don't pray. Don't go to church today. Don't do what God's told you to do. It's not that big of a deal. But when we disconnect ourselves from God, we are in a very dangerous place. And all of us need to be connected to God. And so it's not about following traditions. It's about having a real connection with God. She said, listen, I know that one day the Messiah is going to come and He's going to deliver. He's going to tell us how we should worship. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, I who am talking to you am He. In other words, here I am. I suspect the woman maybe already knew because he had told her all about her life. He knew everything about her. And yet He still loved her. And yet He still invited her to come and have a new heart, to be connected with Him. This woman, out of any in the Bible, and there were a lot of outcasts that people kind of raised eyebrows that Jesus associated with. And I think that was intentional to remind us that nobody's beyond the connection of God. That God will connect with anyone. Doesn't matter how rotten, how royally messed up they are. God invites all of us to have a listening heart, a prioritizing heart, and a connected heart. And the thing is, if we want this year to be the best, then that's how it has to start, is with a new heart. A new beginning starts with a new heart. And friend, if you're here today and you know what, you say, you know, I've never really had a relationship with God. I've never been connected. Well, the great news is God wants to be connected with you. And He will connect with you. He knows all about you. He knows your past. He knows your failures. He knows all the ugly spots. And yet He loves you anyway. And if you're a child of God and you're saved and you know what salvation is, but you also know that, you know what, it's been for you, maybe not God's been the priority that he's needed to be. Or maybe you've not been connected like you need to be. Then maybe God would say to you, you know what, maybe it's time to rededicate, to start this new year. Say, Lord, I started this year with your people, and I want this year to be a year that I connect more with you, and that you use me and grow me more than any other year of my life. So if we want to have a new beginning and a new heart, it has to start with having a listening heart, a prioritized heart, and a connected heart. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you that your grace reaches us despite how ugly and messed up we are. You love us. Lord, though it was socially unacceptable, you went and you met with the Samaritan woman. And though it's socially unacceptable, you come and you meet with us. And you call us your children. And you make us new. So our prayer is that we would take the new heart that you give us, and that we would live the life you intend for us to live. Help us, we pray, to do that. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and sing a hymn of response this morning. And if God spoke to your heart and there's a need that you have, maybe today while we sing, you just need to stand there and say to the Lord, quite, Lord, this year is going to be the year for me and you. Let's